You have tuned in to Debt-Free Wealth Radio with Trudy Behrman. Thank you for taking me along with you on your mobile device, the web, or through our syndicated outlets. Well, tonight is actually a new segment we're launching called Men Talk. Men Talk. It's a new segment to Debt-Free Wealth Radio. Patrick Pierce is going to be my co-host for this segment. He is an insightful thought provoker. Patrick is a Christian and a law professor who challenges to engage in enriching conversations that clarify, edify, and encourage men, especially men, to move to the better versions of themselves. Although Patrick directs his conversation to men, women cannot help but chiming in. I can swear to that. I'm one of the main ones, which is why he's here today. I had to invite him. However, men really do need an opportunity to express themselves, to be heard, to be respected for their contribution, and that's why we have this show. This is your show. This is Men Talk. So we're kicking off this segment today looking at the challenge of divorce. We're kicking off this challenge today looking at the topic of divorce, how men are impacted when their visitation with their kids are interrupted by an angry ex. Yes, unfortunately, some men are deadbeat, but using the kids as pawns creates a deeper pain for the kids than most realize. So this is the topic we're going to start and launch a show today, because when men are excluded from their children's lives, there are future repercussions that are worse than giving into a visitation with an absent, deadbeat dad. Deadbeat or not, dads matter. So I want to bring Patrick on. Patrick, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you, Trudy?
Thank you for joining me, Patrick. I am so awesome to have you here. I can't tell you. I've been getting involved in all your conversations on social media, and I just felt that this was the right time, and you were the right person to co-host a topic like this, Men Talk. So, all right, anything you want to say to us before we jump in?
First, I want to thank you for the opportunity, Trudy. I am greatly honored and humbled to be in your show, and I hope we can engage some of the men and women, too, in talking about our condition and how we can collectively brainstorm ideas on how to be better. So I just want to thank you for the opportunity.
Fantastic. Well, just to give some background to the listeners, Patrick and I are both from Jamaica, and
yes.
Patrick is a law professor, and amongst my many credentials, I am a paralegal. So the legal side of this may show up in the conversation, but honestly, we're speaking as parents for the most part tonight.
Yeah.
So Patrick and I have both endured divorces. Patrick in particular has had two divorces. So Patrick, did you have any children from your marriages?
Yes, yes. Something I'm not very proud of, by the way. So... yes, I do have children from both.
Well, you know, you may not be proud of it, Patrick, but, you know, this is a reality for many people, and I want the listeners to understand we're coming from a place of we've been there. We've done that. We've lived through it, and we have some insights on this side of the equation, especially with the legal background and to have heard so many cases ourselves, you know, beyond our own. So I think we bring, especially you bring to the table, you know, a very unique perspective that I hope the audience will benefit from. So you've had two divorces. I've had one. We each had children from that prior marriage. So let me ask you, did you have any challenges connecting with your children after a divorce?
Not at all. For me, I was very, very privileged to have both mothers who, one, they love their children. And we have been wonderful co-parents. So personally, I am blessed because I both mothers know that I dearly love the children. So I was not deprived of having access to them. So for me, I'm lucky, but I've seen too many cases where the parties get so bitter with each other and the children mm-hmm. suffer. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So, it is time to address it because in the process, let's look at it from the best interest of the child. It is the children who suffer the most. Men and women, they are able to move on, but children have to deal with situations that can be, as you said earlier, the repercussions are very, very bad in the long run. And I've seen it. I've seen the manifestations, and this is what I would like to address, because if we don't talk about it, how are we going to solve it? Are you with me?
Well, yes. I'm going to venture to say, though, Patrick, that you are probably not falling in the deadbeat dad category.
Oh, not at all.
Which I think, from a woman's standpoint, will make it easier to connect. Because I think that a lot of these women are, they're struggling. They've been left with the kids, usually. And they're not getting any more support from the man who has moved on. And this is where I think it comes into play, that if you're not going to maintain the child, then you they have this mentality, you don't have any right to the child. But that's being selfish, I think.
Yes.
So, from the women's perspective. But you know what? That being said, that could be a show to itself. I really want to focus on the father-child relationship, which I think is extremely undermined and
yes.
undervalued.
And you're absolutely right.
And you post a lot of pictures with your youngest son, Patrick. So I can see that you are always, regularly connecting with your son, and you're doing a lot of father-son stuff.
Absolutely, because for me it is, my love for my children transcends all things. I mean, there's nothing a woman can say or do to cause me to alienate my children. That will never happen. You have to remember that our presence means more to our children than our presence. And I'm talking about our presence, presence, is more important to our children than our presence, presents. I've seen a lot of fathers confuse both.
Mm-hmm.
They try to shower the kids with toys and presents from a distance. I was privileged to have a father who threw me on the back of his bike, motorbike, ride me to cricket matches, ride me over to his friends. That bonding, that experience to this day make me smile. So I'm able to give my children the same love that I got from my honorable father, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that my presence, their mother could move on and marry 100 times. I am going to love my children no matter what.
I wonder how many men feel the same way and just don't have a chance to share that. Or they maybe, men are so tough and they don't want to get into the touchy-feely emotional side and maybe won't be so willing to voice that. But...
one of the problems with some of the men is if they don't have access to the woman in a very sexual way or otherwise, they fight the children. Are you with me? They fight the children. And that is foolish. That is very idiotic. That because the woman has moved on, may be in another relationship. Some of the men are trivial enough to get angry, and they punish the kid in the process. That is absolutely foolish.
You know, I didn't, you know, I know the women do it. I didn't really think the men did it. I thought the men were just thrown under the bus and, you know, forced into a situation. But you're right. And actually, I was thinking about the present TS that you were talking about. It may be the guilt of missing important moments, or it may be the best they can do, you know, if they're being prohibited from seeing the child. So, you know, I mean, I can understand that the present TS will never make up for the present CE, but I want to say that, you know, everybody has their own way of, you know, of reaching out, be it right or wrong, good or bad, effective or not, you know. I don't know. Okay, you're still there, right?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Well, this whole situation of men not having access to their kids. The other thing I wanted to look at is the concept of being deadbeat. We talk about deadbeat dads. Well, how would you define a deadbeat dad?
Yeah, deadbeat dad is one who a man who takes away himself from his child or children completely. He has no contacts whatsoever. He makes no effort to reach out to the child, to love the child, to support the child, both emotionally, financially, spiritually, culturally, in any way. He's just absent. He's just absent from the child's development. And the sad thing about it, they show up at the child's graduation when they graduated law school, medical school, and they show up as if they were, if they played any role in that child development. I've seen it happen too many times. Keep in mind as well.
They show up in a negative way.
Exactly. But to me, a deadbeat father, when a mother, on her own volition, hides a child away from a father or deprives the father of any access, that to me is more deadbeat than a deadbeat father.
Yes.
And I've seen it happen too many times. I have friends who are suffering because the relationships that they're in, they're teaching the child to honor and respect the stepfather or the men they're having relations with over the father. That is wrong. You can't teach your children to militate against their father. That is unacceptable.
Right. Right. I agree. You know, and I agree with your definition of a deadbeat dad as well. You know, the thing too that I want is that I have seen, because I have, we'll just ignore that because I think it will continue to record for a little bit. But one of the things I have seen, Patrick, is that once the home is split, and the finances that were shared, so one rent is being paid or one mortgage is being paid, one set of groceries are being bought, you know what I'm saying? One car maybe is being shared. The moment they go their separate ways, now, you know, double households have to be maintained. And for some men, it just cannot be. They just don't have the wherewithal. And then what is worse is that because they don't have the wherewithal, the women really want to extract what they don't have. Probably they're depressed from the broken relationship. And then what's worse is that the women will go on to ensure that they lose their driver's license, which means that their ability to earn an income is even further impacted. Some of them end up in jail. And I think it's just a sad, sad situation that is going on in society. But I want to ask you, it's clear this thing is prevalent in society, would you venture to say that it is higher, lower, or just about the same percentage-wise in the Black community, in the African-American community?
I've not really done any research on that to generalize that, to come to a general conclusion. What I can tell you from a Jamaican perspective, and I have seen my honorable mother counsel young people at my dinner table from I was a little boy. And one of the things my mother always said is that, you know, a good mother does not send or take a child's father to court or put them in prison. So I grew up with that same mentality. So I can never understand, as wicked as some of these men get, I just cannot understand why a mother would find it, would harden their heart to send that child's father to prison. There is nothing I would do to any of my children's mother to harm them in any way, because the first thing that comes to mind, if I hurt my child's mother, I'm hurting my children as well. So it is very unfortunate. I've seen cases where men suffer. And let's face it, we're living in a country where, you know, some of these Black men, yes, some of them are not trained, some do not have a skill or a trade. But I believe that, you know, the system somehow adversely affect them in such a way that they really cannot function. I believe if a father genuinely loves his child, a mother who see a father who genuinely loves his child, I believe every mother, every good mother, wants to see a father who loves her child. So I can never understand when a mother would deliberately throw a child's father into jail. I can never understand that. To me, that is cruelty.
Well, I can tell you, as a woman who has been around other women who have done it, I didn't do it. My ex paid zero child support. My ex made zero attempt to visit his children. Every time the children visited, I would go out of my way for my children to have their daddy fixed because they would act up. They needed their father. Yeah. I couldn't care less if they never saw him, but they needed to see him. And even though he made no effort I'm going to say this. It's not that he didn't love his child, Patrick. I'm going to give him this. I think for men, their coping strategy for some of them is they don't like tears, you know, and they don't like to deal with the emotional child or woman who's la, la, la. So for them, it's as hard as it may seem and as illogical as it may seem to us, to simply shut down that side of their life and to minimize their interaction is their coping strategies. It's not that they don't want the relationship, but it is so hard on them to keep reopening some wounds. And I want to believe that some of these men are more softer than they appear to be, more emotional than they appear to be. They keep that fake, that, you know, tough facade, but really and truly, deep in their hearts, they're in absolute pain. So for me, I would take my children to see him. It was inconvenient for me. It cost me more than it should. I never got any help or support from him. But I did it for the sake of my children because the children were suffering and the children needed their father. And I used to say to him, if he even ended up behind jail of his own actions, he never did. But I used to say to him, this is how important it is that the children see him, that God forbid he ever ended up there. I wouldn't put him there, but if he did, I would take the children to the jail to see him because the children need to see their father. It's just an absolute fact. Wow. I've lived it. My mother is a therapist. She has counseled countless children who have identity issues, met children need their father. I want to wrap this up, though. On the point of the African-American community, while I agree, I've not done the research specifically on this either, there is research out there that already shows us that a higher percentage of men in jail are from the African-American community. They are in high percentage in the jails,
yes.
which means they're
yes.
absent in the home, okay? And they're
yes.
absent from their ability to connect with and support that child at any level. The next thing is that there are a lot, when Obama and his wife came into power, one of the things they addressed, and I was so proud of it, is that the lack of married families. Black is as if African Americans don't seem to marry at the same rate as their white American counterparts, and they challenged them. I remember Mrs. Obama calling them to task on that and trying to raise up the idea of marriage. And I think because a lot of these families are not married in the first place, that level of commitment didn't exist at the beginning of the relationship. So I think this will spin off into a lot of other conversations going forward.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
We're going to wrap this up, but I want to just let the audience know you are working on a new book. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, I was inspired by Donald Trump, Make America Great Again, and the idea came up in my mind that I should start writing a book, Make Black Men Strong Again. So I'm getting ready to publish this book, and I've addressed issues in the book with deadbeats, mothers, fathers, and not only in a critical way, but to also see how we collectively can help the black men, take them to that next level, where they can be strong again, where they can be providers and producers and protectors of their woman. We have to address that. Because a father is crucial in the development of a child, especially a son. Let me applaud you, Trudy, before we close. Listening to what you said about your ex and getting your children involved, that was divinely honorable on your part, and I just want to salute you. And you're a good woman. And you're a good mother. You have done the right thing.
I did it for my children. For my children. Not
so
for him.
I want to salute you for that. That is divinely honorable. And I want to say I even respect you more. And this is what we ought to do. I told some fathers recently who somehow are deadbeats. And I as you know, I keep it real. I said, guys, if you're not working, if you don't even have the money, show up even with an apple. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let your child see you.
If the ex will let them, because a lot of times,
yes.
I can tell you, I'm telling you, Patrick, I've heard the women say, if him don't have the money, then he has not earned the right.
Yes. Some of these women too are very frivolous. And let's keep it real. Some of them just wanted children for child support to buy their weaves and their wigs and their shoes and pocketbooks. They really don't care about their child.
It's possible,
you
but
know?
that is a dangerous ground. So I won't go on that one, but I will just say, let's wrap this up. And I want to say to the audience, by the way, although his book title is going to be Make Black Men Strong Again, this man voted for Hillary Clinton. So this is not a political show. This is not a political show by any means.
Yes.
I think it's a brilliant title for the book, Professor Patrick Pierce is a brilliant title, and I think black men really do need to be seen as and see themselves as strong again. So I applaud you on that, and I look forward to that book. All right, we're going to wrap this one up. Thank you, Professor Patrick Pierce, for joining me today.
Thank you. Pleasure is mine, Trudy. Thank you.
All right. And thank you for being with us on thiswealthradio.com. I look forward to connecting with you.
Yes. I'll connect with you.